Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our interview with Tom Cromer, who is known as the Toxic Reverend, who is a whistleblower extraordinaire and warns all the people in his fan base about many, many things, including stem cells. But we're going to go on some other subjects today with Tom. Tom, how are you feeling this morning? Feeling strong?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, Don. I want to thank you. It's an honor to be on your guest. I'm flattered to be invited on. The one thing I wanted to call, especially for the fact that this is Transparency Week, as called by the Electronic Frontier Foundation for transparency in different issues. And to be asked onto his show to discuss such issues during Transparency Week, I'm flattered.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell briefly about a personal friend of mine who I consider the greatest nutritionist in the history of the world, who just knew everything about nutrition and turned me from a fat, sick, prescription-grabbing, prescription drug addict to a healthy man 10 years later. And his name, Agnes von der Planitz, it's a pen name, and he had hundreds if not thousands in his fan base because what he told people worked. And if there's anybody that hated him, it was big business and big medicine, the big food business especially. And they attacked him at every corner. One day he had this organization which was selling pure food to its members. Now think about this. You joined a club and you can buy pure food from them, you and only another members. And here came the Los Angeles city government, the California state government, and the United States federal government raided this store, which was selling perfectly pure food, and telling them they were breaking all sorts of laws in the United Snakes of America. And while I knew him, he had two attacks on his life when he went overseas especially to Asia, and he had a farm he was developing with his theory in Thailand. And one day he came back to this farm and walked out onto his balcony, his second floor balcony, and the balcony collapsed. And I am positive that in the months he was away, that was intentionally weakened. And he was hospitalized, and they said he was stable, and somehow this very healthy guy who was, quote, stable, died overnight. And we've lost a great hero. But ever since then, I've known more and more about the things that Tom Cromer knows are true. So, Tom, Let's talk about what you told me was the evil Senate bill. And I know a lot of people won't believe this, but you have absolute proof. So tell us about it.
Well, okay, first, before I go there, I want to say that, you know, with a lot of people, they might think you, your friend might have died under mysterious circumstances. Unfortunately, I'm aware of a few hundred scientists and others that have died under such mysterious circumstances. Dan Quayle has cataloged a lot of them, so it's a few other people I know, such as, you know, they're written up as committed suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head three times, locking themselves in the trunk of their car. It just, you know, absurd circumstances to call it a suicide, and that's what they did. And that's just one of the ways people have been silenced. And that is, unfortunately, something that's been going on and is underreported. This evil, what I called it, was the evil S-510 food safety bill. I'd posted on it in November of 2010. What they got into was really, they were putting it forward as food safety to protect Americans because of things like salmonella and the peanut butter and where people died around the country and other situations. And they corrupted it is what they did. The only thing that really corrects such things, as I had told them, and no one really wanted to listen to, but over in China, where someone, if they were taking bribes, like let's say the FDA inspectors or others, where the food was inspected, or in this instance, the owner of the company knew that the peanut butter was contaminated, the peanuts, and he sold them anyways, went ahead with it because he wanted the money, and he was never criminally charged for negligent homicide. Over in China, they had inspectors that had taken bribes where people, you know, gotten sick. They took them out and executed them, quite literally. You know, they didn't just find them or put them in jail. Here, they find the guy. There's some civil lawsuits, but there are no they've been trying to get criminal charges against the guy that owns the company and the corporation. In America, as far as it goes, one of the things I try to focus on, I call it the red-collar crimes of American roulette, and you can do a search on that. It's a rough draft of what I've been working on. But Michael McCannon was the district attorney that convicted Jeffrey Dahmer, and he also convicted 10 corporations of negligent homicide. And I get into how he did it, because the thing is, he didn't get any people. He did convict some corporations, but he talked about how he did it. He used interns from local law schools, students to help beef up to fight the corporations. And he didn't go after any exceptionally large corporations with deep pockets and heavy-hitting lawyers. So that's how he got 10 of them. He never lost a case. But he never got any individuals for what I call the reckless operation of a corporation. And I think we need some legislation that would mandate criminal charges against these corporations when they operate recklessly, or when the scientists and others produce fraudulent reports, which has happened for decades, and they didn't address any of this in the food safety bill. But it goes back years ago even. With the EPA, there were several companies that had fraudulently produced toxicology reports for industry, and these companies, four of these gentlemen were hit with fraud because they mailed the reports over state lines, so they hit them with fraud for interstate commerce type of a thing, and that was it. But since then, that was years ago. And historically, it's been an ongoing thing where industry turns in their toxicology reports and the APA accepts them at face value without any follow-up of their own scientists. And these others are toxicologists, and these companies are pretty much bribed into producing whatever type of reports they want. And this is all documented. Now, I'm a book on a rough draft that's up as Toxic Revelations. I discussed some of the different reports and the places where that happened.
Hold on. I have something that has to be added in here. You said that you need to get a law passed that will allow these states to go after the individuals who are murdering people in large corporations.
Reckless, yeah. We need to criminalize the reckless operation of a corporation.
Well,
that's
sorry,
as short
Tom,
as I can get it.
Sorry, Tom, that battle is over. It's been over for a year and a half or so. And The corporations, of course, won, and they won easily, as the United States Senate approved a bill with overwhelming majority that state attorneys general could go after all the corporations they want and their billion-dollar law firms, but they could not go after any officers of that corporation. They're allowed to murder people indiscriminately in the United Snakes of America. It's a law. What happened was they had 24 states going after, trying to go after these individuals, and they simply went to the Senate, passed around $10 or $20 million in bribes, and
campaign contributions, and gratuities,
Well, whatever you want to call it. But now the United States of America, the 50 states, cannot go after the individuals who own the United States government, who run these corporations. These corporations consider the United States government as their subsidiary. And they said, how can our subsidiary come after our officers? It's unconstitutional. We can murder all the people we want, and no state can do anything about it. And certainly the federal government doesn't give a damn. So consider yourself a future victim, of which nobody can. I mean, you get companies putting devices on heart patients that knowingly don't work and knowingly kill them, and you can't do a thing about it. Not a thing. You can sue the corporation with your $1.98 law firm, and they defend with their billion-dollar lawyers and say, come get us, suckers. Sorry your old man died, but you ain't going to sue us. And that's the law in the United Snakes of America. So,
well, I would like one. I don't know specifically or how I missed it, that Senate bill, but I know that there was one passed with the vaccines where they couldn't go after the vaccine manufacturers if there's any problems with that H1N1 vaccine a few years ago. One of the things I found is that I have to be careful, not only in my perspective, but how I present it. Otherwise, people just want to hand me a tinfoil hat. What I have is documentation that one of them was called, it's on my Google Plus page, Toxic Reverend Google Plus, to let me use Toxic Reverend as my real name, because everyone remembers that. They don't remember Tom Cromer. You know, tomorrow you go, Tom who? But Toxic Reverend, next year you'll remember. Anyways, one of the reports was Toxins for Profit. I have it posted just a few days ago. And what the report showed, it was censored, is that the major corporations, the people that own these toxic chemical companies, also own the pharmaceutical companies. And they have a revolving door that goes through, another report, that goes through Washington, D.C., where people from these chemical corporations and the pharmaceutical corporations work for the government and the FDA, and they go back working for these corporations like Monsanto. That's one of the big ones right now, the GMOs. And that's been well documented. They have a revolving door in Washington, D.C., and that's how they operate it and do these things. One of the ways they do it.
Well, wait a minute, Tom. You mentioned Monsanto. Are your listeners aware that a top executive of Monsanto is now Obama's Secretary of Agriculture?
Yep.
Are you aware of that?
Where I was going. And part of the thing to do with the GMOs,
The corporation said to their subsidiary, who lives in the White House, they said, "Dear subsidiary Obama, please nominate John J. Killer for Secretary of Agriculture." And now Monsanto makes the laws. And what happened to Whole Foods is a very, very important story.
Yes, it is, for what they've been doing. Yes, that go, please.
So Monsanto comes out with this new definition of organic food. The new definition, Monsanto definition, allowing them to put their poisons into and call them organic food. After all, when you own the government, you can get away with any damn thing you please. So
I found out about some of that back in 96 or so, I mean 2006, I was doing searches, organic scam, and if it wasn't that, other people, companies sell food as organic when it isn't, and they're never criminally prosecuted or followed up on, and Monsanto actually took it to the next level and made it legal confused the definitions of the word organic, like you're saying.
Well, the president of Whole Foods went to Washington to have an interview with Monsanto, and the interview went as follows. You can use any definition you want for organic food, but if you don't use our definition, you can't sell food as organic. So go out of business if you please, Mr. Whole Foods, but you're going to use our crooked definition of organic or go out of business. And that is how things work in the United Snakes of America. Continue,
yeah,
please,
well,
Tom.
Kudos to Whole Foods. I just was at their store yesterday and had one of their burritos, and they're actually buying chicken from a local farmer that was range-fed, open, you know, organic, pesticide-free, and grow no growth hormones. And they make the burrito right there in front of you. Some of the best you can buy in the back of the store, the grocery store. They have a different food thing. And one of the things I'm aware Whole Foods came out and said was they're going to get anything that has GMOs in any of their products. They're trying to get them all off the shelves. The problem is they're finding that there's GMOs in some of the food that's not on the labels, that just because it's a lot of it's hidden in the ingredients, like aspartame or other different chemicals that can be in your food, and it's not always, or they'll call aspartame, now they have several different names for that artificial sweetener besides aspartame, and if you're not up on it, you won't know that it's in there, and if it isn't one thing, it's another, it's one nightmare after another. I like the simple approach where if you try to read the label and you can't pronounce the word or you don't know what it means, don't buy it.
That's a good point. Okay, let's talk about something else that you brought up, which I think is very, very interesting, and it shows how powerless even the most knowledgeable, the most brilliant scientists are when it comes to fighting massive corporations. I'm referring to the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Oh, now, yes, my heroes.
We're going to start as if our listeners don't know anything about it. So please teach them from scratch about this union.
Well, the main page that I really like about it, from their main page, is the Integrity in Science program that they have. And what it's reading here verbatim. 52 Nobel laureate winners, 63 National Medal of Science recipients, and 195 members of the National Academies of Science have all signed on to this Integrity in Science programs, and it's growing. The Union of Concerned Scientists is www.ucsusa.org. And after that, if you want scientific_integrity would take you to the page of that. But they handle all different aspects of the corruption of science, and they even have like a periodic table up where you can click on different aspects to show. They call it the A to Z guide to political interference in science, and that's a pretty good page where it shows it's across the spectrum. It isn't unique to just stem cell research or medical research. Oh, by the way, historically, with the cancer or things, Huxley, When Healing Becomes a Crime, excellent documentary on the Huxley herb and what happened with that doctor and how the government persecuted him, and a court finally ruled that they went after the medical association went after him criminally and ruled in the doctor's favor. It's one of the rare ones where somebody actually turned it around a little bit. But the game keeps running, and it's still the same, where it's really corrupted by these large corporations throwing all this money in there politically, where now they're down as corporations or people, and they can handle their political money that way. And it's destroying our society. It shows up everywhere that I look. There's other, just for as an example, environmental health perspectives came out with a peer-reviewed medical journal article about different perspectives on mental illness, environmental perspectives on mental illness. And that report kept getting moved and taken down, but it's an actual government report, named all the scientists in it. It was peer-reviewed. It concerns the impacts of toxic chemicals on our environment, on human health. They talked how most mental illnesses are actually due to toxic chemical exposures, and what happens when you go to the doctor, they just treat the symptoms. There's also a database that's up where 160 different chronic illnesses and conditions are listed. You could put in the name of your condition, and the database will give you back which toxic chemicals are known to give those symptoms to tell your doctor what to test for. But most doctors are completely unaware of it. Doctors are given 4 hours or less of nutritional training and even less in toxicology. In California, they're starting to change some of that. They passed a California Senate bill for medical doctors to where they update their credentials, continuing education. They have to get more in the nutritional aspects.
Hold it, Tom. Tom?
Yeah.
You just brought up a sore subject that we've gone over a few times. The California legislature proposed a bill that starting 2015, all licensed doctors who actually treat patients have to take 7 hours of nutrition over the next 4 years. I repeat.
I think it was Senate Bill 380, I think, in California.
And that bill was opposed not by one, not by a majority, but by every crooked medical organization, and they're all crooks. In the state of California, no matter what your brand was, your society of doctors, whether they are cardiologists or psychiatrists, MDs, or whether they're neurologists, or whatever your branch was, they came out against it. Every single one came out against it. And that law ain't gone nowhere. Because the doctors don't care about nutrition. They don't care if you don't eat right. Because if you don't eat right, you're going to get sick and they're going to make money. And that is the medical system in the United States of America. You can look it up, Tom.
I will look it up because from what I recall of it, I was told, that's from what I understood, it had passed. But there's a doctor here in Santa Rosa, John McDougall. He's rather well known. From understand, he had a hand in proposing the legislation and getting that through. So I'll have to get a hold of them or Bill or somebody, the other guys that were involved in that legislation, and see what's actually going on with it currently. I have some own personal issues going on. I haven't been able to keep my fingers on the pulse of everything that's going on and happening. It's hard to keep track of all of it, Don. It's just, unless you concentrate and just stay focused on one specific area. But when it comes across the board like this, every now and then I need to sit down with others and compare notes. Well, from what I understand, I thought it had passed. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe they blocked it, because it would not surprise me in the least. That would be their general operating procedures, the way they do things. I have old posts in what I call the 25 rules, and it's just the way that they typically do things when it comes to derailing legislation or people or attacking people. One of my postings was called The Grand Delusion. It's about the 1313 Club out of Chicago that interlinks with all the metro systems from all the major metropolitan areas, which is a pretty well-censored article, but I also listed the 25 rules in some of the comments here. The original, it needs to be updated, I think. Trying to bring up the exact name of the article. It was written some years ago, but the gentleman did a really good job of how they attempt to discredit people and how they attack people that are working against the system and are trying to expose what's really going on. It was called 25 Ways to Suppress Truth, The Rules of Disinformation. It was written by H. Michael Sweeney, and it was a pretty good report. He goes over the back then, this is going back a couple decades ago, what the general use these corporations would do and how they would like follow environmentalists around when they would go do conferences, and they would try to disrupt meetings and discredit people and all the different dirty tricks that they used to try and keep things contained to go in the direction they wanted it to.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So it's been a long-standing game. It's been taken to a whole nother level with corporations being declared people.
Okay, so much for my subjects. Why don't you bring up something new that I haven't mentioned?
Well, as I was saying, this is Transparency Week. According to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and what's going on, U.S. Snowden, it used to be if I spoke about it, people just wanted to hand me a tinfoil hat, and Snowden, Edward Snowden, he kind of sold that because I was aware of different programs like Carnivore back in the 1990s. When I started learning about these different things, I was up in Seattle at the University of Washington hanging out in the medical library, and I met a downwinder. He was a survivor from the Hanford Nuclear Project, the radiation. And we got acquainted, and I just thought the guy was really insane at the time. But every time I looked into what he told me, I found out he was absolutely correct. He goes, Cromer? I said, yeah. And he goes, any relation to Jack? I said, it was my Uncle Jack. And he showed me my Uncle Jack was one of the foremost experts on the effects of radiation on humans. Completely blew my mind. I didn't know that. And he showed me quite a bit of other things, and when I had problems at the university, he hacked right through their firewall from their library right into the medical charts to get at what the doctors were doing because they wouldn't show me my medical charts. And this is back in 1998. And one of the reports, I got a hold of a reporter there at the time to try and tell him what was going on, but it was Duff Wilson, and he was working on a story at the time called, it was a five-part series that the Seattle Times did on it. And he ended up leaving the Seattle Times, going to work for the New York Times, but the article was Uninformed Consent. Seattle Times is a five-part series, and I have it posted from March 16th, 2014, on my Google Plus page. It's linked in. And it's a whole five-part series of how a doctor knew he was torturing people, his cancer drugs at the cancer center, one of the foremost in the whole world, really, they claim, he knew his cancer drug didn't work, that it was actually torturing people. One of the other doctors took him 10 years to expose this guy, how he was slanting the medical reports, and he made millions of dollars off of this drug that he had a vested interest in, got a percentage of, and slanted all the journal articles that he got published, and they finally put an end to it after that with this five-part series. And it's just another one of those horrendous stories that goes back well over a decade now, of what was going on at that time. In 1999, an article came out how they killed, I believe it was 24 people died in Chicago from an artificial blood substitute. The problem was none of the patients were told they were being given artificial blood. They came in an emergency trauma center in Chicago from a poor neighborhood, and they changed the FDA laws in 1996 that says in emergency situations they can use a patient as a guinea pig without their consent. And that's an FDA law, and I have that posted linked in with the story again at my Google Plus page lately. And that was an Associated Press article that came out about that artificial blood in 1999. And it was censored. It made one blip in the news, and all of a sudden you didn't hear any more about it, and everybody was rather quiet, except in some of, for years, in the alternative media here and there, and other bloggers and organizations. The Sunshine Project tried to get behind it, which was the only real watchdog group for biological weapons and non-lethal bioweapons, and they ended up having to shut down. That gentleman, I believe, is now South America, still in fear for his life. And one of the lawyers that wrote the Treaty for Biological and Chemical Weapons internationally that's been ratified by our country, and we continue to violate, Francis Boyle, he was a part of the Sunshine Group. He brought out some of that, but they could get very, very little, if any, no real traction at all in the media. So most people are completely unaware that today you could get hit by a car and taken to an emergency room unconscious, and they could use you as a guinea pig without your knowledge, without your consent, and it's legal.
Well, it's, Hitler never had it so good.
Yeah, there you are. Welcome to Nazi America. You know, home of the deceived and land of the knave. But, yeah, that's where we're at.
You got that right. Okay, one more subject. We have time for you to bring up one more issue that hasn't been covered yet. Please go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of this comes down to control of the Internet. They're going for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Act that would override our constitutional laws if they sign it into law. They're trying to keep it very quiet. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has been fighting it. And if we lose that and lose control over the Internet, that would be a big problem, because the only reason I know about some of the things that I'm aware of or things you're discussing is because we have this Internet, we have some freedom on there, even though we get tracked by all these different intelligence agencies of the alphabet soup, we can still get information out to each other without the mainstream media that's really controlled by five large corporations, and they censor stories as they go, as they please. And if we don't keep an eye on our freedom with the Internet, it's a done day. We really need to keep an eye. There's this Transparency Week going on right now. I think it's one of the more important things on the table at the moment, because if we don't have that, Don, we're not going to, it'll be a very bad day.
Okay. Thank you, Toxic Reverend. I refer to Tom as Tox, T-O-X.
I love that, too. Thank you, Don. I think Tox is a good nickname.
Well, I like that name too.
And I should stress, one of the reasons I started working on this is in 1998. I found out they found chemical damage in my eyes from toxic chemical exposure. So, as an environmental systems technologist, they told me I'd be going blind. I'd have about 10 years left to drive. They were about right. I am now legally blind and have been for the last few years. Technically, I'm low vision with central vision loss from macular degeneration, dry macular degeneration. But when they told me I was going blind from toxic chemicals, I started looking into it and studying it, and that's why and how I've been following it. That's been my sole motivation, is because my own butt is in this grinder.
Okay, just in case it matters, there is one of my approved stem cell centers in Tijuana, which isn't that far from you, and they do treat dry but not wet macular degeneration. And if it's one eye, it's $10,000. If it's two eyes, it's $15,000. But they demand a lot of pre-treatment testing to make sure that they can really help you. So if you go on.
One thing I did find, a gentleman in Russia had glaucoma and some degeneration. He developed a new eye drop, has an ionic cationic charge to it, where it'll draw the antioxidants right through the eyes, through the membranes, across to where the damage is, and help correct toxic chemical damage. I'm trying to get my hands on what I'm looking for, these eye drops, a way to buy them. He's at the University of Moscow State Hospital, in Russia. He doesn't speak any English, but they're trying to do clinical trials with it now, and it's one of the things to help neutralize the damage from the toxic chemicals before you try to regenerate it with stem cells. And in my own personal opinion, from what I've learned, that would be the thing for me to do, would be to get my hands on those eye drops, use some of the nutritional supplements that would also help to build boost my own adult stem cell production, and then try that technique with the adult stem cells with the eyes like you're talking about at your clinic.
Lots of luck on getting your hands on that product. It's wonderful.
Well, I'm working on it.
you know that the FDA would do anything it can to keep medicine that actually works away from you. So if they can sneak it in some way, I wish you the best.
Well, I might have to go to Mexico to do that.
Well, that would certainly make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Tom and Mr. Tox. And
God bless you, Don. Thank you for doing the work you're doing.
And we hope to have you back in 3 or 4 months, and for another interview. I like your style, and we'll talk to you again. Bye, bye, Toxic Reverend.
Good night. Thank you. Bye.
Mr. Engineer, thank you again, Tom, Mr. Tox, or Tox as I call him, for explaining to our listeners all the dangers that you're subject to now that science is totally corrupt, and all the Nobel laureates and all the honored doctors in America who belong to the Union of Concerned Scientists, no matter what they do, no matter who they are, they cannot overcome the strength of Hitler's new generation, the giant corporations. You know, what people don't know, most people don't know, is that in 1933, Hitler was elected by the large corporations in Germany. And those large corporations, at the end of the war, when they were hanging Nazis at a Nuremberg trial, every one of those criminal corporations who had participated in all the things, making poison gas to kill Jews and subsidizing operations to test people against their will and all that stuff, they didn't pay a dime. They weren't published at all. They wound up at the end of the war with more power than they had in the war. And now today, we're seeing a remake of that in the United States of America, where corporations have taken over the government, can get any bill passed they want, and now are allowed, the corporations are allowed to kill anybody they please with their products and knowingly kill them, according to the latest law passed by the United States Senate that says, kill all the people you want, let the suckers try to sue us with their $1.98 law firms. They ain't going to get us, and they certainly, but the ones they were afraid of was honest state attorneys general. And those honest state attorneys general can now no longer go after the murderous bastards who run these corporations. Okay, next subject. As you know, we like to give you health warnings where possible. If you're in New York, you may have, and you're a diabetic, you may have been exposed to HIV. Imagine that. You go to a hospital and get your insulin shots, and it turns out 4,200 patients may have received insulin of possible exposure to hepatitis viruses and human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, due to possible blood contamination, officials said. Lots of luck. Imagine that, taking a drug that gives you HIV. Imagine that, becoming an AIDS patient because you took a drug at a hospital. Okay, recently we've been telling you about the fact that big drug corporations who control the United States government complained to the FDA that India had broken American laws by taking some products and some drugs, which 90% of Indians couldn't get because they couldn't afford it. And so India started letting its companies that make generic drugs, and the big drug companies didn't like the fact that they were losing profits in India because their generic replacements were coming ahead of the replacements in the United States. So they went to the FDA and said, hey, help us please, FDA, do something about India doing to us and trying to save lives with our product, the terrible thieves. And as you know, as I've told you over and over and over again, the FDA is owned and operated by pharma. I repeat, the FDA is owned and operated by pharma, and to a lesser extent by Monsanto and their GM products, genetically modified products. So all they have to do is say to their employees, namely the leader, the woman who runs the FDA, hey, we want you to protect us What, after all, what are you in office for? The only reason she is in office and been in office for 20 years is that she does her job well, protecting, no matter how many people she kills with her regulation, she protects the profits of pharma. And sure enough, here comes pharma. She went to India. We don't know what she said, because what she did was what all government officials say. They say what you want to hear. And she told the press blah, 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 and nothing referring to the real problem. But now we see the first clue. Now, there has been one terribly crooked large drug company in Japan, which was running a company in India called Rambaxi. And Rambaxi, no matter, every time you open your eyes, there was another ban on Rambaxi products. Okay. Now, the head of the FDA visited India and laid down the law to them. And they said, well, we can't stop giving our people these drugs and letting them die. And she says, the hell you can't. And so the first step just came out in the last week or 10 days from Mumbai. That's what they now call Bombay. And there's a Indian generic drug maker, Sun Pharmaceutical Industries, has a plant in the western state of Gujarat, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration fired the first shot against Indian generic drug makers and said they ban imports from that drug maker's plant, that generic drug maker's plant. And the war is now underway, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, India will lose, and the big corporations, Hitler's corporations, will win. And this company now is out of business in the United States, although they can continue to sell their drugs in India, which is their admitted purpose. Okay. Now, people get upset when I accuse pharma of criminal actions, every drug company, and I do mean every major drug company, is subject to regulation and subject to criminal acts. Now, what do criminal acts mean? As Tom told you, they don't mean a damn thing. It means the government can find them, but not the people it killed can't find them. Can't sue them. The widow, the surviving widow, can't sue them. And certainly the people who are killing people in running these corporations, knowingly killing people, they can't be touched. Let's talk about, there's a public organization in the United States called ProPublica. And there was, in 2010, there was a Chicago psychiatrist, a crook if there ever was none, named Michael Reinstein, and he was paid by a Israeli pharmaceutical company. Hey, what do you think of that? A Jew psychiatrist, a Jew MD prescribing clozapine for a Jew criminal organization in Israel. And don't worry about it. I am not anti-Semitic. I am Jewish. And but I am one of the few people, just like blacks can use the term nigger whenever they want to and whites can't, Jews can use the term, as I just did, to say a Jew psychiatrist and a Jew pharmaceutical company conspired. And he has been, the pharma company has agreed to pay more than $27.6 million to settle state and federal allegations that it paid Chicago psychiatrist Michael Reinstein to overprescribe clozapine to Medicare and Medicaid patients. Okay? Medicare and Medicaid patients. And of course, he's prescribing it to any patients he can, but the feds could only go after Medicare and Medicaid, that they were cheating Medicare and Medicaid and costing them money, and so they were able to find them, and the company was happy to pay $27.6 million. I am ashamed of Teva. I am ashamed that Reinstein is probably a Jew, and I am ashamed of both of them, and will continue to attack the Reinsteins of the world. And just in case you think that that ProPublica was picking on somebody for no reason, we know of three of Reinstein's patients who died of clozapine intoxication. At the time, he defended his prescription record, arguing that clozapine is effective and underprescribed. Of course he did, and of course he got away with it. But last spring, ProPublica reported that Reinstein prescribed even more of the drug in Medicare's prescription drug program for seniors and the disabled. ProPublica cited Reinstein for this, and of course he got away with it and got away with it and got away with it until finally the feds went after him when the states couldn't. So there you've got that. Pfizer now says that the U.S. court has invalidated Celebrex patent and generics loom. Oh, you think? As you've been told over and over and over and over again on this program, that the drug companies have a lot of ways to going around the laws that say 20 years of patent and then it comes the generics that don't work at all anymore. Okay? The Pfizer lost a case in court to a generic drug maker, which is unheard of, but you'd think with their $1 billion worth of lawyers, they can get away with anything. One final item: prosecutors in Rome, another crooked drug company, two of them, Swiss drug makers, Roche and Novartis, have been now being investigated as suspicion of fraud by Italy. Italy is going after these Swiss drug companies, and we'll give you more information as we go along. That's all the time we have today, folks. This is The Truth About Stem Cells. Don Margolis signing off.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org, and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.